When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Mully and Haw. Live and local. Chicago Sports Talk for your morning on 670 The Score.
Well, I won't speak for Tyreek. From what I've been able to observe, we just came off of a tremendous walkthrough, the meetings, the debriefs, and he's focused. He's locked in as, you know, the same way that everybody on our defense happens to be right now.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That is the defensive coordinator. That's Eric Washington.
Yep.
He's done a really good job
defensive
line.
Really good job.
Yes. They seem to be playing better than expected all the way across the line.
Defensive coordinator in name only, perhaps.
Yes.
Doesn't call the defenses. That's Flusie's job.
Not the play caller.
And I think the play caller should remain the play caller. I don't think you want to weaken Matt Eberflus as a head coach by taking away what he does best. That has been suggested a little bit this week. I think it's a bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
Eric Washington talked about Tyreek Stevenson there coming in. Let me ask you this.
Yes.
Tyreek Stevenson, like many who play the position, is a cornerback that is fueled by confidence.
Yes.
His belief in his ability to do things that other athletes don't do, can't do, won't try, is related to his confidence and his aggressiveness and the way that he views himself. Do you think, or how much do you think, his approach, that swagger, has been affected this week? So if he does play on Sunday, even though it's in a reserve role because he's not starting, according to Dan Weider, he wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't start, how much will that affect the player in Tyreek Stevenson?
Yeah, I think 0%.
Hmm.
I think Tyreek Stevenson is a big believer in himself, and I think that this is not – I think guys like him are going to kind of justify whatever happened in their own head. It's part of the trick you have to play with yourself as a professional athlete. I think that, you know, the thing you learn at the quarterback position, more so than maybe any other, is that you let plays go. You can't let it – you can't let one play – bring you down over the course of a year. And I think the guys I've seen who have been very conscientious and then get beaten and then carry one play to the next, those are the guys that don't make it. You've got to have a short memory. You got to forgive yourself if something goes wrong. I think he's already over it, frankly. I think that he's met with the team. He's met with the leadership council. He's met with everybody. He's done his moment in front of everyone.
Okay.
And the coach has probably explained to him, look, you know, because of what happened, we've got to bench you for the start of the game, but you're going to play, and we believe in you 100%. And everything he's done publicly is back the guy up.
So you think it could go the other way? You think that, and I don't disagree necessarily. I'm kind of curious in what we're going to get from the next version of Tyreek Stevenson. I wonder if this serves as not necessarily a wake-up call, but it allows him to reinforce and maybe sharpen his focus, because he does need to be – when Tyreek Stevenson is playing with discipline, Tyreek Stevenson is a plus player.
Yeah,
he's a guy that you could see being a starter on an excellent defense. When he lacks discipline and he allows himself to commit dumb, careless penalties because he can't control his emotions, or he's too aggressive – at the point of attack and commits past interference penalties, when he lets his emotions get the best of him, he's replaceable.
Yes, he is.
But when he harnesses those emotions in the right direction and maybe gets kind of refocused like he could be this week, he's a better player.
I expect him to be a better player moving forward.
Okay.
I expect him to be more focused. I don't think that he's going to come out and have like a really dumb penalty like he did last week.
I don't either.
And I don't expect him to I think he will learn from what he did at the end of the game, turning his back to the But he's got to be held accountable.
Well,
there is accountability.
That's true.
I don't think accountability is going to ruin the guy. I think it's going to make him better.
I hope you're right. I think you could be. But here's the thing about accountability and all this kind of conceptual talk and what I was referring to earlier. At some point in time, it comes back to the football. And the football portion of the program, if he gets into the game on Sunday, the moment he gets in there for the first snap, you know everyone in that Cardinals offensive booth, they're going to say, all right, 29. You know Kyler Murray is going to know. He's coming into the game. I would pick on Tyreek Stevenson if I were the Arizona Cardinals.
He's
immediately
already picked on.
Well, I'd pick on him more.
You got a shutdown corner in Jalen Johnson that doesn't see a ton of action as a result of being the better of the two players. And I think Jalen's excellent. I'm not suggesting that they should turn from attacking Tyreek Stevenson. But I think every time he plays, they go after him because they're trying to take advantage of the fact that he's the lesser of the two players. It's that simple. So, of course, they're going to go after him. And, of course, he will have to rise up and play well and all the rest of it. The difference in this one is, you know, clearly Terry McLaughlin got to him. And there was like a little, they went back and forth, and he had the 61-yard catch.
You can get inside his head.
Okay, he did. And he's a good veteran receiver who did so. Mm-hmm. I think the Bears have to be really careful about Marvin Harrison Jr., and I think he's a game breaker. You know what I want to know? And I know this is a silly thing to turn, but I will turn to this. Tell me how Roma Dunze feels being on the same field as a guy that was drafted ahead of him.
It's a good question.
Because he has not played, they haven't played the Giants.
Marvin Harrison Jr. has 5 touchdowns.
I know he does.
Roma Dunze doesn't have 5 touchdowns.
No, he does not.
So the point being, do you think that Roma Dunze feels even more neglected by seeing the way that the Cardinals are using Marvin Harrison Jr.?
I think that Roma Dunze, I think it was really interesting when he was asked about Puka Nacua. He talked about, because Puka Nacua started at Washington and then transferred, and then he winds up in the NFL, and he puts together one of the great rookie seasons, and he's a hell of a player. And I think that Roma Dunze, when asked about, oh, you know, you're going to be playing against him or whatever, they never faced each other because Nacua was injured when the Bears played the Rams, obviously, one of the reasons the Bears won the game. But I think that he believes, I'm saying Rome believes, he's the better of the two players. And I think that he thinks he can have that kind of a season.
He should.
I don't know.
He should think that.
I think he thinks that. And I think he probably thinks he's as good as Marvin Harrison Jr. And I think that he probably feels like he can put up all those numbers himself. He doesn't get the same opportunities. They haven't used him in the same way, whatever the reason is.
It's an excellent question.
But I wonder
if
he's had to do a good game because of that.
I don't know.
I mean, they don't feature him, and they got offensive line problems, and they can't get the ball down the field.
When I prioritize this Sunday's game, offensively, defensively, how the Bears will win it, I have to be honest, Roma Dunze's involvement is not in the top 5.
It's negligible. Because it has been this year.
And it has been. So I want the Bears to focus not on the rookie receiver and matching up to Marvin Harrison Jr. I want the Bears to figure out a way to get the ball to their number one wide receiver. That's DJ Moore. I want them to figure out a way to use Keenan Allen in a way that he was good against the Jacksonville Jaguars.
I thought you were trading him.
Well, you know what? If you don't win this Sunday, we're going to revisit that conversation on Monday, because if he's not involved and they're 4-4 and the trade deadline's Tuesday, let's revisit this on Monday. I don't think that Roma Dunze has to be something that makes you feel like, oh my gosh, he needs to measure up better to Malik Nabers and Marvin Harrison Jr. because you drafted him 9th and you should have taken a tackle or an edge rusher or all those things. Too early. Too early for that.
I agree
with
that.
Too early for panic. Too early for second guessing.
I think he's a good player.
He is.
And I don't understand why they haven't used him more.
I think his injury early set him back a little bit.
I think that other things have set him back.
Like bad offensive line.
The pressure on the quarterback.
That's terrible.
Due to the offensive line. And that could be the case again this week.
Oh, and by the way, you know, that play caller, not exactly covering himself in glory.
No,
you're not scheming anybody open.
I mean, listen,
you're not getting it done.
You know what they're going to do? They're going to throw screens to DJ Moore, maybe right on the line of scrimmage, or maybe
on fourth down.
I mean, David, who are we kidding? He's got a lot. You know, Shane Waldron has got to be better.
I thought all was well. Story. I thought there were no regrets. I thought there was no second guessing. I thought everything was fine.
Maybe he's saying so, but he's under scrutiny. They're under scrutiny. This is a big game for the coaches.
Is it?
Yes.
Do you think they feel it?
I hope
because
so.
Again, go back to the idea. Eric Washington is not going to be calling defensive signals because Matt Eberflus does it well.
Yes.
On the other side of the ball, though, if Shane Waldron has another clunker and we're coming in here Monday morning at 4-4.
I don't think he's going to.
You think he's going to have a good game?
I think it's like when you threw that pass to DeAndre Swift. You went back to the drawing board. Listen, one of the worst things about that Washington game was that they didn't improve any of the problems they had during the bye week. When you were looking at them, you said to yourself, okay, here we go. You're on the road. You got to win. Are you going to get manageable third downs in the first quarter? Are you going to be able to convert a third down in the first quarter? Are you going to start with these three and outs? And they did. They didn't improve. Are you going to have any pre-snap penalties? Are you going to have any kind of dumb offsides or whatever because you're on the road and you're better at home with that stuff and it's going to be noisy and your line is compromised?
Keep going.
I'm just saying, these are the elements that you were looking at going into the game. And you know what? Then they didn't improve at all. And then they even bungled up stuff. They were making dumb calls and weird things were going on. And then finally they get together and they win the game. And you're like, oh, God, you know, that quarterback's got some special. This is going to help them going forward. And then the end of the game happens.
I think they're going to find on Sunday a very receptive Bears crowd. So I don't know that the crowd noise
it's not and gonna the same.
The silent count stuff is going to be, you know, a hostile road environment that they can look at and say, this is the reason why we have so many pre-snap penalties. No excuses exist on Sunday for that kind of atmosphere because I don't think that – I think the Bears travel well, especially to Arizona.
I remember – this is years ago – covering the Bulls in the NBA Finals in Phoenix – and there was a story in the paper that there were 1 million transplanted Chicagoans living in the Phoenix area. There were almost as many. People from Chicago used to go there all the time. I don't know if that holds up, if the numbers. I got a couple friends that have moved out to Arizona. I'm just saying. I think that like there are Southsiders that retire to Arizona, not to Florida.
Yeah.
And I think that's why there are so many Chicagoans there. There are a ton of Chicagoans I know who went to Arizona and Arizona State and just went to that state for whatever reason. I think there's a connection there. And I think the Bears, not only do they travel well, they'll travel better there because there's a lot of transplanted Chicagoans who will be there too.
And it will be a very comfortable environment, which is a point about your offensive line needing a silent count, probably not going to be the case. You have an offensive line that should be at least able to communicate. I don't know about execute. That's a different conversation.
Yes, I agree.
Because the instability on the offensive line is the biggest reason that I question the Bears' ability to win this week, besides the coaching issues.
It's a legitimate reason because on top of the coaching issues, you do have personnel problems. That's a fair way of looking at it. And it made the game very difficult to pick but I just feel like even compromised that it's not like if Sweat's going to play and the defense isn't compromised, I don't think they're going to give up 24 points.
I don't think so. I think that it just depends on how well the secondary plays. Without Brisker and Kyler Gordon, those guys are going to be the ones that I'm more concerned about than Tyrique Stevenson because I do think that the loss of Gordon and Brisker over a period of time now has hurt a defense that really relied on those guys to give them a little bit more of an identity, a mentality, and they also made some plays.
Let me tell you something. The Kyler Gordon thing, like Brisker, this is a very serious problem and you don't know. You don't know. I mean, I hope he's doing much better. I hope he's fine. I got a feeling that, you know, We've talked about this and we've covered it and we've taken it seriously. I don't know that everyone is doing so. I don't know if people realize, like, this is career compromising when you're talking about a safety with concussion issues. 3 years, three concussions.
3 years in a row.
As scary as all get
out. And we don't know really what was the deal at Penn State.
No, we have no clue. And so, and I mean, again, very tough, hard-nosed football player. We'll find out if and when he comes back. But he's still in concussion protocol.
That's trouble.
And that was before, I mean, when was that? That was before
London. He didn't go to London. Yeah, he didn't go to London.
I mean, that's like 4 weeks
now. We're looking at about a month.
Okay.
It's been a long time.
Now, Gordon's thing is we talked about him at the in the offseason, and I felt like he potentially was going to be one of the breakthrough players. Because I've seen the guy come off the edge. It reminds me of one of the Barber brothers back in the day in Tampa when he used to blitz. I can't remember which one. Rondé.
It was Rondé Barber.
It took me a second.
Well, Tiki fumbles and Rondé talk.
Tiki fumbles and Rondé blitzes.
Yeah.
Great blitzer. And so I thought he has that kind of ability, but he's like a high twitch athlete, and he's a really good athlete, can do some great stuff. Unfortunately, he's also had these soft tissue injuries. And I got to be honest with you, David. You know, when you talk about guys that have a contract come in and, guys that you want in your program long term, you got to make sure that they are available to you. And it's worrisome that he has had this soft tissue problem all along. Now, it's a hamstring. And as you know, and I know, depending on the severity of the hamstring.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a 6-week injury.
It is.
Potentially.
I'm dealing with my fifth day of one. I can tell you, I'm not an NFL defensive. I got a little hammy issue.
What happened?
A little hammy issue. Bad day on the treadmill.
You got to be pulling my leg.
It is a serious thing with Kyler Gordon. You don't want it to escalate because they miss him. He's as indispensable as any player in that secondary. I don't want to say including Jalen Johnson. I think he's an elite cornerback and one of the top four or so in the NFL, but
he's
Kyler Gordon means a lot to that defense, and they're different without him. Offensively, I think they have a challenge in Shane Waldron. This is what I would suggest. We talked about it earlier. You're terrible in the first quarter. You can't score, and you're tired of three and outs. Begin the game up-tempo. Begin the game with no huddle. Give Caleb Williams more autonomy because God knows that his coaching is not making an impact early on. So give him the ability to change things at the line of scrimmage, run or pass, see what he sees, and go no huddle.
Okay.
From the get-go.
Aren't you a little miffed that they didn't do that, come to that conclusion out of the bye?
A little bit, yes.
Just
a little bit. Self-scouting revealed nothing to them because they were as bad early on as they have been the rest of the year.
The same problems they've dealt with all year were available to them in that first quarter against Washington.
So I don't know if they can grasp the obvious, and I don't know why they'd be reticent to that idea other than, they feel like they can't get into a running game rhythm that way. I still think you could run the ball out of no huddle as easily as you can throw it. But they, for some reason, have avoided it.
They need to win this game. They need to coach well in this game. And they need to change this narrative. And they can't change the narrative all bloody week long. They haven't.
They need to regain some credibility.
They have to.
Yeah.
That's what this game
means. And restore some confidence.
They need to do that.
Lack of belief outside Hallis Hall is back to where it was, I think, before the Hard Knocks bounce.
All right. Oh, boy. The Hard Knocks bounce. Again, that's a created thing. That wasn't real.
You have to acknowledge it.
It was real. I got to tell you, and I don't want to say it. I went back and watched the last episode of Hard Knocks to hear what they had to say about Velus Jones Jr. because they cut him. They had to cut him. They made such a big deal about him in the last.
And he was signed.
We're going to do the week in review. We're going to do that next. Mully and Haw on the score.
Mully and Haw got you ready for Bears Week 9 matchup against the Arizona Cardinals. With experts analysis from former Bears head coach Dave Wannstedt.
No, they're going to win this week. I mean, come on. Arizona's not. I know they win, but.
I'm telling you,
Bears are going to win. Kyler Murray is no better than the kid they just faced.
You got the Bears winning this game.
I do.
Okay.
Because? Their defense?
Because they're a better team.
Bolin Crutz.
This is the attitude we take. Don't point fingers. Don't try to decide on what you're going to do and what you're not going to do and whose fault it was. Just worry about what the hell you got to correct. Get what you got to get corrected.
Chicago Bear wide receiver, DJ Moore.
I haven't really looked at them, but I've seen how they've been playing. They've been playing hard, so... Just how this pass defense was. They was out there flying around and playing hard. So I know that's one thing we're going to have to beat.
Jarrett Payton.
You're not to that point, I don't think, where you can just go on off script and do all these crazy things. I think you got to stick to the script to be able to find a way to win games.
Joe Ostrowski.
Before the results on Sunday, the Bears were favored and beat Arizona. It was -1.5. And then just after what happened, and so it flipped. So they make Arizona the favorite. Our friends at Circa have made it a pick'em. BetMGM says the Cardinals -1.
Bears Tribune beat reporter Dan Wiederer.
It feels like in this moment that Matt is like two more devastating losses from this being a fait accompli, right? From this being like you can't continue down this path. There's 10 games left. The realistic nature of the Bears suffering two more losses, like they've suffered so many times here in the last 3 years, is very realistic. And that should scare you a little bit.
BetMGM Hawks great Chris Chelios.
So there's a term in hockey called the bag skate. It's basically a punishment for doing something stupid. You're on the ice and the coach skates you for an hour, no pucks, and just until you drop. And that's what they should do to Stevenson. They should line him up on the goal line and just make him run for an hour and then maybe even throw in the stadium stairs for punishment.
NFL Network reporter Stacey Dales.
Tyreek Stevenson's one of your best football players. I think there might be an internal, maybe he doesn't start the game. I don't think we're not going to see him in the whole game next week. I just don't. I think maybe it goes back to his comments. We'll see how the week plays out. We'll see how Tyreek shows up to practice Wednesday through Friday this week. But I don't see them suspending him against the Arizona Cardinals this week.
Nick Costas.
If we get to tomorrow when the final injury report comes out and everybody's playing, like Sweat's playing and Gordon's playing and Brisker's playing, etc., I actually think the Bears should be favored in the game. Like, I think the wrong team is favored if that's the case.
Odyssey NFL Insider, Brian Baldinger.
This is big because when you're publicly questioned by your own team, unless you win, those things just echo louder and louder. And they don't die, and they don't go away. And so the only way to suffocate those questions is by winning. And so that's exactly what's at stake right now.
Chicago Tribune Bears beat reporter Brad Biggs.
This is tough because of the offensive line. If the Bears have a better team, they ought to be half desperate. So I pick the Bears to win 20-17. Low level of faith in this selection, guys.
Joe Fortenbaugh.
For the Bears this week, you got to ask yourself, how quickly can you rebound? Do you believe this is a resilient team, or do you believe this team will still be affected by that? Because the market's telling you they think the Bears are still kind of what we saw at the end of that game. I'd be more inclined to look at the Bears here. Bears just struggled. Market understands that. I'd be looking at the Bears this weekend. Famous last words.
Mark Grody.
I did not pick the Bears to win. I am picking Arizona to win. I am picking Arizona to win this game 24-21. As far as the locker room is concerned, no, I don't think the locker room is on. I mean, all of the potential exists. I know I've heard the word mutiny thrown out there, that they're on the verge of that. I certainly have not sensed that yet.
Can the Bears win against the Arizona Cardinals? Mullin Haugh and your reactions to the Bears' upcoming matchup on 670 The Score, the home for Bears fans.
Mullin Haugh, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. You are listening to a Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric Football Friday presented by your local Ford dealers and IDOT. It's not a game, Illinois.com.
I love Grody. That was good to hear all those predictions this week and all the stuff we covered, because it's been a long week. And I love Grody, but I love that he threw out the fact that, you know, there's no mutiny out there. Like, hey, who said anything about a mutiny?
Well,
there's no mutiny going on in the locker room. Wait a second. Who suggested that there was?
Well, I mean, he's clarifying something.
Yes, I love it. But
in the back of your mind,
it tells you the
tone.
There
was a lot of second guessing.
It tells you the kind of tone that's been going on.
Yep.
And just to clarify things, he wanted to make sure that he didn't detect that, but he understood why there might be the suggestion that there would be. It's been a tough week for the Bears. They've been beaten up a lot publicly, And now they've got a chance to go out and change the subject and change the course of their season.
And the game itself is later in the day. It's another 3:25 start. And before that happens, before they take on Arizona, you can tune in Sunday from noon to 3 for your local Ford dealers pregame show. It's right here on The Score, 670 The Score, presented by Aurelio's. And Olin Krutz and Patrick Manley and myself will be live at Wonderverse in Oak Brook.
Wonderful.
Feel free to come out if you want to, Mr.
Wonderful
Dave.
For Wonderverse.
We'll get you all set up for the game, and then immediately following the game, we're going to have instant reaction from Wonderverse on the Great Clips post-game show presented by Sony Pictures, Wonderverse Chicago, and TimberTech Decking and Railing. And all of that can be heard on The Score and on the Odyssey app. And you can come out and you can get Dustin, get his attention, and just tell him, hey, I got something to say. And then he'll have more to deal with than he already will.
I don't want to have anything to say on Sunday. If I came out, it would be get a 5-pound burger. But I don't eat half of it.
You are welcome to have a 5-pound
burger. I don't think I would want the whole thing.
I think you would probably, if you want to do this, honestly, you should work with Olin and Pat.
No, I don't think.
That would be great.
You're not getting out of Sunday. You're not getting
I'm
out of Sunday.
I'm not looking to. No. I'm trying to accommodate you.
I know.
You.
But yeah, because I want a 5-pound burger. That would be a bit much for me. I like a hamburger.
I don't fathom how you could eat a 5-pound burger. I mean, I get either. It. You split it, apparently. And the boys said that that they split it and that Ryan Porth ate 85% of it. That's what they said on the air. So I'm not telling tales. But Dustin will be there. Managing
excellent.
How do you handle like the old idea when you're a kid is, and it works, we should use it in society, is if we're going to split a candy bar, you cut it in half and I choose my half. Dustin gets to cut the 5-pound
burger. I think you need to cut the 5-pound burger.
And then Olin gets maybe to eat choose it with, which
yeah,
one.
Olin can choose whatever he wants. Yeah. And I think you eat it with a fork.
Really?
Probably.
Okay.
Might eat it with a fork. Might need a fork.
Yeah, 5 pounds.
Because once you cut a hamburger, you kind of loses the whole handheld thing, right? Because if you're using utensils, then you might as well use a fork and keep it clean.
Depending on how you cut it.
So we got big weekend, Sunday, Bears, yes. Saturday, college football. Tonight, Bulls and Nets out in Brooklyn.
Yeah, that's a big game.
Big game. We will wonder and see about Zach LaVine in terms of his status with the sprained shoulder, according
Lonzo's
to Casey Johnson.
Out.
Yes.
Zach is questionable, right. and Jalen Smith still has
Jalen Smith, who has been pretty good early on, yes, missed the game the other night. The night with knee soreness, they won anyway. Now they go on the road. You wonder if he's okay, because that rotation probably doesn't go 10 deep if it doesn't have. Oh, it might have to, but Jalen Smith, Zach LaVine, and Lonzo Ball out. That's not a great combination.
I think the Nets stink. I think the Bulls could pull off their third straight win.
Then we would be talking about
Dynasty?
A team better than we expected. We'd be calling it Billy Ball, and Billy Donovan would bristle when we did, because apparently he doesn't like that. But I like the way they're playing. They're playing at a pace, the fastest pace in the league, and they aren't shooting the three as well as maybe they're going to need to, but they are shooting it pretty well when they you look at Josh Giddey, he had 20 points the other night. He's shooting 58% from behind the arc. That's crazy.
That's insane.
That's unsustainable.
I mean, he's a guy that can't shoot, and he's shooting 58%.
Well, he can shoot.
Apparently,
he's gotten better at shooting.
Apparently, he can hit an open
shot. Is this all because of Peter Patton?
I hope so. I'd like to think so.
Peter Patton patented the three-point release. I mean, Peter Patton is the I like saying Peter Patton.
Apparently, Peter Patton picked a pack of
of players,
pickled players,
to shoot three pointers.
Yeah.
Peter Patton picked a pack of 3-point players. Well, I think Josh Giddey has been a good surprise. It's not working. Sorry,
he's good. He's a good shot coach.
He is a good shooting coach. The Bulls are shooting it well and playing at a high level. So the Bulls play tonight. The Blackhawks lost last night 3-2 to the Sharks in the Shark Tank.
Yes.
But, boy, this was a fun story. Little sidelight. Will Smith, not the Dodger catcher, not the actor,
Oh, yeah. He slapped the hell out of that.
Well, Will Smith probably for the San Jose Sharks, 19-year-old, probably has a heck of a slap shot.
Yeah.
But he scored two goals against the Hawks. Will Smith is the great-great-grandson of the original White Sox owner, Charles Comiskey.
What?
Yes. Will Smith, his family is from, his mother is from Chicago. His mother, Colleen, still has family in Chicago. And he grew up in Boston, went to Boston College. He was a Boston Bruins fan, but he did have a Patrick Kane jersey. And he was a Red Sox guy. But Will Smith, the now Blackhawk nemesis, because he scored two goals against them in a victory that the Hawks should have actually won, he's a descendant of the Charles Comiskey. Look at you. You have a Boston. That's Boston U. That's not Boston College.
Okay, I'm just telling you. I've got a Boston connection. I'm close friends with a certain number one overall draft pick. Not Connor.
Macklin Celebrini?
No, I just...
No, Macklin Celebrini did not play last night. He's coming back, but he's not ready yet.
No.
Hawks should have won that game.
He's played one game. But he did great.
Do you not think that's interesting?
He had a goal and assist. I think it's phenomenal.
It's for the White Sox fan in you.
Listen, I'm a huge. I love Charles Comiskey. I think I helped build a statue of him somewhere.
I
had nothing to do.
This is a good week for White Sox news, or a week of good White Sox news. And
so the good news is that Will Smith, the guy that beat the Blackhawks, is.
He's a local guy, practically.
Practically local.
He's practically
Bostonian.
Local.
Bostonian.
There were his first two that NHL wasn't. Goals, and they came against the Blackhawks. And, yeah.
Is he named Smitty?
That's probably his hockey nickname, yeah.
Yeah. You know how hockey players are.
Smitty, okay. Definitely. Good old Smitty.
Yeah, did I read this? And I got to go. I shouldn't speak before I check it. There was some tweet out there that said a Will Smith has been on the roster of the last five World Series champions. Is that accurate?
That is, I think, I don't think it's the same Will Smith.
No,
but
it's
a
different.
Will Smith.
A Will Smith.
Yeah. That's quite a stat.
Smitty has bounced around.
The Dodger catcher, obviously in 2020 and this season,
mm-hmm.
and my sense would be there's a relief pitcher named Will Smith, lefty, I believe. And that would be maybe the other
Texas. That was the last World Series before.
Texas Rangers. Yeah.
I forgot to
Braves,
check all the
Astros, and Rangers. The reliever Will Smith played for the Braves, Astros, and Rangers, while the catcher Will Smith was the Dodgers. So that's kind of the bookends: catcher 2020 and 2024, and in between 2021, 2022, 2023. We had the Braves, Astros, Rangers.
I was hoping it would be more than two guys.
But that would be more confusing.
I'm a little disappointed.
Has the actor Will Smith had a hit since 2020?
He had a slap.
But he's making news for the wrong reasons.
At the Academy Awards.
Will Smith, the catcher, has had more hits than...
How are those two crazy kids
Will
doing?
Will Smith, the actor.
Is that marital?
I don't know. I really don't know. I really don't care.
Give me the background.
I don't have that. I don't have that origin story.
Okay.
I just like the origin story of what one were we talking about this morning? The Will Venable origin story.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Hopefully we'll talk to Will Venable at some point.
Yes. Yeah.
It would be great to get him on the radio station to talk about his plan for the White Sox and his vision for what he sees and why he wanted this job. By the way, speaking of baseball, reminded me, Bruce texted me this to remind me. He's on tomorrow morning with Mike Esposito inside the clubhouse, 9 to 11, and one of their guests, Bruce Bochy.
Oh, you're kidding. That's
Bruce Bochy.
What a great get.
He's going to have some intel on Will Venable.
Of course.
And I think he's a guy, one of three championship managers for whom Will Venable worked. Joe Maddon, Alex Cora,
can
Bruce
you
Bochy.
Text Bruce back and tell him, ask Bochy if he considered the White Sox or if they didn't want him when they hired Pedro. Wasn't that one of the rumors that he was interested in the White Sox job? Okay.
Yes.
I'm just asking.
Well, this is the second week in a row they've had a good, accomplished championship manager on.
Right.
Terry Francona last week.
Yes.
And he said, essentially, this is what he said when they asked him that question about the White Sox.
Yeah.
They didn't call. They didn't call him.
Okay.
He said he respected Jerry Reinsdorf. I don't want to speak for Terry Francona, but I think the gist was that he respected the White Sox, respect Jerry Reinsdorf, but he didn't call him. So.
He wasn't one of the 60?
What did you think of that?
I thought it was interesting.
Chris Getz had a list of, was it 60, 50
started,
or 60?
They started at 60.
They whittled it to
20, got it to 5.
How do you start with 60 on a job search?
I mean, how many managers are there in the major leagues?
Well, 30. You know the answer to that question.
I'm just saying it's insane. If you really, I mean, listen, I'm glad they had a big list. I just don't know that you're getting in your own way.
When you have 60 candidates, it's like you went on Indeed.com and said, Major League Manager,
yes,
we're hiring.
Right.
And you took all the resumes. And the one that stood out was Will Venables because he had...
20's a lot, frankly. Okay?
20's a lot.
20's a lot. But I think the 5 is pretty sensible. And I think Will Venable, they landed on the right guy.
You know what it reminds me of is that when we saw that, like, you know, when coaching searches, and everybody's covered a coaching search.
Yes.
It comes out with the list of potential candidates, and all of a sudden it's like 14 names deep.
Yeah.
Well, that's not really helping anybody.
That's not helping anybody.
That just means you don't know.
That's what it means.
When you say that.
60 means, you know, throw a dart at the wall.
60 to 20 to 5. Yeah. I think I would want to go from reasonably 9 to 10.
Okay.
You have a list of guys that you want
to. That's fair.
Consider.
Down to 3.
Then down to maybe 3. Okay. And then you pick one.
I think they kind of went to 4. I don't think the 5th one was a serious candidate, and I don't want to say that aloud, so I'll keep it to myself.
Who are you talking about, mystery man?
The Grady Sizemore.
Oh, you never considered him a real candidate?
I did not.
Why?
Because
why don't you like him?
David, I don't dislike him, but let me just ask you something. We're sitting here this morning talking about Will Venable as the new White Sox manager.
Mm-hmm.
What if they had brought back Grady Sizemore and we were sitting here this morning talking about that? Do you think there'd be any enthusiasm? Do you think we'd be saying, wow, you know, hired by great people, brilliant guy?
Or would
we be saying they plucked him out of the bunch and they...
I would be honest. I would be saying that a certain Sox fan in this studio said that had they employed Grady Sizemore earlier in the season, they wouldn't have made history.
I agree with that.
So
mainly because I said it.
Then there should have been. That's my opinion. In that context, and if they would have made him the manager, you should be enthused about a guy who made the Sox better.
You can't announce that you're looking outside the organization, you're going to bring in some, and then hire the guy that you settled on to take over from your manager and announced that he was only an interim and would never be back.
Well, that's true if it's Ethan Katz or somebody who's been in your organization long enough to be considered an insular hire. I think if you're Grady Sizemore, you got here, you know, last spring after working $15 an hour as an intern in Arizona. He's more new, and I think you could sell that if they wanted to. I don't think they chose to.
There is no way they could sell that. They could not sell that. That's why I'm responding in the way I am.
Okay.
I don't dislike the man. I hope he stays on the coaching staff. They're talking about that. That's great. But let's be honest about it. If they named him as the manager, there would be no parade.
There's not one now.
There's one in L.A. Kopech will be parading today.
Oh, how about the caller that congratulated Mike Kopech? Michael Kopech and Joe Kelly. I forgot about Joe Kelly.
Yeah, I don't think he deserves
Why are we congratulating Joe Kelly for anything?
Because he swore on the air.
Joe Kelly, congratulations. You have a great podcast.
He tried to get the FCC to shut down the score, as far as I'm concerned.
I know. He was in cahoots with Shane, right? Were they cahooting? That was his guy. Wasn't that Shane's guy?
I don't
know. Joe Kelly?
I don't know. Probably.
Was Joe Kelly get the
I got a lot of
shares recipe?
We're starting and stopping the show with Shane talk.
We're going to badmouth Shane again, David?
I am complimentary of Shane. Shane did a nice job yesterday being journalistically sound, following those instincts and reaching out to Carl Williams, Caleb's dad, and getting a response on the tweet that was loud. Good job, Shane. Then he went to make some bread.
It's focaccia. Why are we having this argument again?
I'm hungry.
Shane has done me a couple of larges, and I'm in his corner.
Well, I would definitely welcome a loaf of focaccia bread if Shane were so.
You break down and 20, buy one.
20 a loaf. He's sent out a couple of emails about it.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Well, how come I didn't receive these emails?
I love that David wants $20 from Shane. That's what I'm hearing.
I don't know these emails.
$20 a loaf.
All right. Well, that's not bad.
Why would you get one for free?
Because I complimented him.
He'll talk about it on CHSN.
Yes, right.
There you go.
I'll eat it. I will eat focaccia bread on the Chicago Lead.
Maybe he could be a guest on the Chicago Lead. You could make focaccia bread on TV.
I think Shane would be good on television.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got a look.
He does. He's got a look.
Yeah, I agree.
I think that's a good idea, Dustin.
All right. We've got to get to our colleagues. I believe we're going to talk to, is it Dan Bernstein? I don't know. Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll definitely talk to Marshall Harris. We'll do that next. Mully and Haw on the Score.